Hello, and welcome to Business Talk. Hi, I'm Chris Kellogg from the Kellogg Crew Morning Show on 94.7 WMAS. And I'd like to introduce the host of this week's episode. He's the editor of Business West. Here's Joe Bednar.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Business Talk. We have a great show for you today. Our guests are John Waite. He's the executive director of the Franklin County Community Development Corporation, and Kate Lawless is the communications director there. Very happy to have you both here on Business Talk.
Yeah, thanks, Joe, for inviting us.
Thanks, Joe.
So according to the website, the Franklin County CDC is, I'm going to quote this, an economic development nonprofit providing business development education, access to capital, and commercial office and manufacturing space. But I know you do that through a number of different programs, and I'd love to talk about some of them today. But in general, how would you describe the overarching mission?
So we've been around for 45 years, and our overall mission is really economic development in the region. We still have the name Franklin County Community Development Corporation, but really for the last 12 years or so, we've worked throughout Western Mass. Hmm. And even within economic development, our focus is small business development. We really think that the small businesses are the heart, sort of heart and soul of our economy. And so that's what we've been trying to support for all of these years.
Has the mission changed over the years as needs have evolved, and in what ways?
It's interesting because we have this discussion all the time, and our mission statement has not changed over 45 years because it's general enough, I think, that it kind of continues to work. But some of our programs and sort of focuses have changed. 22 years ago, we started the Western Mass Food Processing Center. Mm. And the reason why we were selected in Massachusetts to do that was because, of course, Western Mass, there's a lot of agriculture here. So we had always been working with farm and food businesses, but for the last 22 years, we've really picked that up. So about 50% of our programs and staff, you know, direct their attention to the farm and food businesses, primarily in Western Mass, but we're actually doing some statewide programs now, too, because we've become known for that. And, you know, we're able to support that sector even more than other sectors. But in Western Mass, we work with all types of businesses, retail, service, manufacturing.
Talk about some of these specific programs, and we might as well start there because that seemed like an interesting one to me, the Western Mass Food Processing Center. What are the specific ways that you help entrepreneurs and others along with what they're doing?
So the food center itself, Food Processing Center, is a production facility. We don't really call it a commercial kitchen because it actually doesn't even have ovens and stoves in it that you would think about. It's large kettles and large choppers and mixers. So we really help people take their product from the idea stage. Maybe they're selling to their friends and family, maybe at a farm stand, and then they want to increase and get into grocery stores. So we're trying to grow businesses just like we do with all other sectors. Here we're able to provide the facility, the equipment, and the expertise. A lot of our clients now say that the equipment's really useful to make 300 gallons of sauce, but our staff can direct them in the right way to do it using food safety guidelines, which are getting more stringent over the years, as well as like even just what kind of label, how to do a label that the grocery stores will accept. So it's the expertise combined with the facility and the production, which people really value.
And maybe you want to add about Preserve the Valley. That's a new program we have where farmers with, you know, an extra load of cucumbers or whatever can come to us, and we have we call it a plug and play program where with extra pickles we can make, you know, our cucumbers, we can make a certain type of pickles that they can then sell at their farm stand. And it's really easy for them. We have, you know, everything they need to make that happen, the jars, the labels, and the process is all streamlined.
And speaking of food, you have something also called the Massachusetts Agriculture Innovation Center. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that's one of our newer programs. It's a USDA funded. We were one of three in the nation to get this award from USDA. And so we're really proud of that. And it's basically because we have this food center, it's to help farmers add value to their produce. So it's great when farmers can, you know, grow their tomatoes and cucumbers and sell it at a farmer's market or sell it directly to a grocery store. But then when they can convert it into a product that has a longer shelf life, especially here in New England, you know, we have a short growing season. So if they can produce it, put it into a jar or package, and then it's sold throughout the year, that extends that increases their income. It diversifies their farm a little bit and keeps them going. So that's what the Ag Innovation Center. And again, that's a statewide program. So we're working with farmers out in the Northeast, the Southeast, as well as around here in the Valley.
I'm going to keep throwing out some programs that I was reading about when I did some research on you, Senate, because it's all this, a lot of it seems food and agriculture related. You have something called the PV Grows Investment Fund. What is that?
Oh, boy. And I want to make sure we save time, because sometimes we're getting too well known as a farm and food organization. And we really want to let people know that we do all kinds of stuff. Like I say, manufacturing, service, restaurants, retail, and it's the mix of businesses in Western Mass that really helps the economy here.
Sure.
And, you know, to tell you the truth, the farmland is a significant and important issue around here, but it's only a small percentage of the actual economy. But the PV Grows, we call it, Pioneer Valley Grows Investment Fund, a unique fund. We started it 8 years ago, and it's where people in our community basically make a loan to us. We aggregate their money and we lend it out to farm and food businesses. And It's really worked well. We raised the first couple of years, $2.5 million, and we've lent that out and revolved that fund several times. And now we're looking to raise another $2.5 million. So we want to get a $5 million fund. So people who want to support the farm and food industry around Western Mass, buying local is one thing. Growing your own local food is great, but investing in our farm and food businesses is another opportunity. So any of your listeners that have a little extra cash, it's a $500 minimum. And like I say, it's an investment or a loan to us. We gave a return of anywhere from 0 to 2% interest. And then after, it's a 3-year cycle. So your term is 3 years. If you want to take your money out after 3 years, that's fine, or leave it in. But it's a great way to, we're not trying to reinvent the banking system, but the banks don't tend to lend to a lot of the farm and food businesses that we do. So we need more money to keep our economy going.
And if you think about the floods that happened earlier in the year or last year, those PV Grows investment funds were there for the for emergency farm financing and loans, low interest or zero interest loans during that time.
It's a great way to really connect the community to the important agricultural work going on there. It's a really intriguing program.
We want to give a shout out, especially to CESA. I'm sure you've probably had them on your show, Community Involved in Sustaining Agriculture. They're a partner in that. Mm-hmm. They have the Emergency Farm Fund. So we work together with them to make these sort of short-term, quick loans to farms. And then we have other collaborators on that too. Common Capital, which is based in Springfield, Equity Trust, the Co-op Fund of the Northeast, and the Carrot Project, who's around, works all over the state, all over New England, actually. So we love to collaborate whenever we can. We can't do it all, obviously, but we are the sort of lender that has a good, our back office. We can support these loans, get it out, do the collections, and then we provide technical assistance. And that's what we really actually want to highlight too, is we're more than the money. We have money, but we also have the business assistance to support people with their financials, with their marketing, with their sales. So we really get in there and really help the businesses on different levels.
I do want to broaden this conversation into the realm past just agriculture. My colleague George O'Brien, I know, interviewed you for a story recently on Greenfield, and you mentioned in that story that your organization served more than 350 clients. Fiscal year 2023 loaned out nearly $3 million to 31 businesses and carried out work that resulted in the creation of 70 jobs and the preservation of 114 jobs. I'm just reading that off the story. So tell me about that. Tell me what types of businesses and organizations you're serving here.
So again, when you, 350 businesses in a year is a fair amount. We have a limited staff here, but some of them we work with just for a couple hours, just to give them some general guidance, some advice to get started. Others, we really spend more significant time with them, especially if it involves a loan or they're using the food center. So it's a variety of levels. We have an information session every month, the first Wednesday afternoon of every month, just to give some general information to people who they have an idea, they don't know what to do next. Let's get started. And we're very pressure. You just come in, you ask your questions, you hear about some experiences that we can we can provide some advice on getting started. And then whether it's, if it's a specialized business, we bring in consultants sometimes too. And so I should mention, a big shout out to the state. We get a bunch of state grants to supply these services for free through the Economic Development Department or the Mass Department of Agriculture. are big supporters of ours. So our first several hours with people are for free. And then depending upon what they need, you know, we might charge a little bit, but usually we can get a consultant in to help them. And actually, since COVID, we used to never really deal with grants, but since COVID, money was available. We've made many $5,000 or $10,000 grants to businesses, and we still have some of that funding available. We think that's a key part for especially the early stage businesses, people from marginalized communities that haven't been able to build wealth. So we really want to support those folks who don't have, you know, a rich uncle, who but still have a great idea and are motivated to grow their business. You know, we want to be available to them.
And if you think about, you know, someone who has a passion for their business, they might really know everything, that, you know, from soup to nuts about their thing that they do, but they might not have expertise on QuickBooks or how to do marketing or how to logistics. There's a whole slew of skills that you have to be a successful business owner. And we help supplement that knowledge and get them really on track so they can succeed.
And you guys also have a venture center too, where you rent commercial space?
Yeah, we're at the venture center right now. The offices of the CDC are here, but we've got a 36,000 square foot building and we've got seven businesses in here.
Wow.
Silver Screen Design is what we call our anchor tenant. They do graphic design and t-shirts and posters and marketing materials. So they've been here for 25 years. They pay rent to us, which keeps us going. And then we've got another business. It's Catalyst Kombucha and Ginger Libation who make these beverages. We've got a bookstore, a nonprofit bookstore here. And then we're also home of the Franklin County Community Meals Program. And so we have different spaces for businesses to come in, get them started, and then many of them go off and have their own space. One of our sort of most success stories, I'd say, is the Pioneer Valley Photovoltaics, and they install solar panels all over the valley, PV squared. Yeah. They started here with two people. They grew. When they had about 15 or so people, they needed to find their own place, and they ended up finding it across the street from us, Well Street in Greenfield. And now they have over 40 employees. They're a worker-owned co-op. So that's a terrific business that grew out of our incubator space.
You're listening to Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West. We're talking today with John Waite, the executive director of the Franklin County CDC, and Kate Lawless, who's the communications director of the CDC. One thing I read on your website is that you seem to be focusing your work increasingly through a racial justice lens in recent times. Can you tell me about that and why it's important?
Yeah, so we really started analyzing like who our clients are and what's going on in the Valley, you know, 6-7 years ago. And, you know, we went through our portfolio and a lot of our clients were white and the population, and especially Franklin County, that's the largest population there. But we realized that it's not just, we had to be proactive. We can't just say the demographics are going to change on their own necessarily. So we started to actually look at, you know, why hasn't the demographics changed in Franklin County for a while? And so we started a group called Welcoming and Belonging to try to reach out and let, you know, non-white populations know that, you know, we have a lot of services here. We can support them, get some more diversity here. And then as we move down to Hamden County, obviously it's a different demographics. We want to be available to Black-owned businesses, to, you know, non-white businesses down there. So we actually started a program called the Racial Justice Initiative, and we're doing more work internally to make sure that we all know that, you know, we're based in a white dominant culture. That's how many of us grew up, the society we grew up in. And it benefited some people, but it harmed others. And we're really trying to learn more about that and overcome the harm that's been done. As I said, you know, a lot of folks, their families might have some wealth, they might have a house or something. So if they need collateral for a loan, they have it. But there's a lot of folks who weren't able to accumulate wealth. And so we want to be here for them, either not require collateral, or we might be able to provide it. If, you know, if something happened in their credit history, that's not a big issue for us when we're making loans. We really care about, are they passionate about their business? Do they have a good idea? And we really want to work with them.
John, I saw in your bio online that you came to the CDC about 24 years ago. And before that, you did some really intriguing development work around the world with, in different roles. Kate, I'm not sure what your background is, but what drew the both of you to this organization? And why is it gratifying to work there now?
Yeah, I mean, we have 20 employees here now. When I started, it was a long time ago. It was only six. You know, I think most of us are here because, well, we like business. We think that's important. But it's really the other values. And that is about equity, to give opportunities to people who might not have had them. And for me, I stay here every day. It's something new. You know, entrepreneurs are exciting, passionate people. So even though I've got the same title for 24 years, every day is different. We do different programs, work with different people. As I said, we have these statewide programs, so I'm dealing with folks from out east now. But yeah, I had some international experience working with small businesses. And, you know, small businesses around the world, in my opinion, have some of the same issues. They need capital. They need support because they can't know everything. They need to be able to make sales, you know, hire employees, grow their business. So even though, you know, some of the loan funds I was working with in Africa, you know, $100, $500 was a lot of money. Here it's, you know, $100,000. But some of the needs of the small businesses were very similar.
What about you, Kate?
Well, I came up through journalism, actually, and I was a newspaper reporter and an editor. Worked at some independent schools throughout the Valley. But what I love about this job is telling the stories of the entrepreneurs. And I get to talk to them and learn what their experiences are, how we've helped them. That's just so inspiring to me. And we hope, you know, I hope that by sharing all that, we can draw in more people and help more people.
You mentioned our website at the beginning of the show, Joe, and I want to, Kate's been an integral making that more interesting for folks and user-friendly. So I hope people will go to it, fccdc.org, nice, simple one. And then I just want Kate to say something about our upcoming block party. I think people should know about that.
Oh, yeah, please. We're celebrating this 45th year anniversary with a block party on June 6th, 4:30 to 7 at our facility, 324 Wells Street, here in Greenfield. And yeah, we're going to have just a blast inviting people to come and speak and have, you know, share some of what they do here. And in past years, these block parties are really fun and well attended. So we encourage people to come on by.
You know, we've written a lot about Franklin County recently from an economic lens. And we've talked about we've written about some of the challenges in the region, population loss, housing access, transportation. And then in turn, we've also talked about the importance of the partnerships in the county that are so critical, you know, between organizations like yours, the chamber, local governments, business organizations. How important is it to work together and to share resources in the way that we've already talked about in other ways that we've seen in such a uniquely rural county?
Yeah, I don't think we do much on our own. You know, just getting the word out, even you need everybody to be putting it out there. The chamber does a great job with existing businesses. As I mentioned, CISO with our farm and food businesses. And then we have a bunch of business associations, whether it's Shelburne Falls, Montague, Greenfield. We work a lot with them. And, you know, all of us have limited resources. So by working together, we can make referrals. And then we have, you know, statewide and other programs, the small business development centers around. SCORE has some good mentors that we're able to call on as well. And so there is this whole ecosystem, as we call it, that's supportive of entrepreneurs. A lot of entrepreneurs are sort of private. They're a little, sometimes they don't even want to talk about their ideas. But once they start getting out into this, meeting any of us, we pass them around and try to find the right resources for them.
I would also add that the Franklin County Chamber is a co-host, if you will, of our block party. So they're going to get the word out to their people. We hope like the chamber members come and, you know, our people come and we mix and mingle and create some really good relationship building and networking.
And just repeat the date and the address of that again, because I want people to make sure they hear it.
Yeah, that's June 6th, 4:30 to 7 at the Franklin County CDC at 324 Wells Street in Greenfield.
You know, before we let you go, just let me ask one last question. And that's, you know, having done so much work supporting businesses and entrepreneurs in the region, what are some of the reasons people do want to come put down roots there to live or start businesses or grow businesses in Franklin County?
It really varies, but, you know, quality of life keeps coming up. And I mean, I still remember this one entrepreneur who came out and said they used to come to the the dancers at the Grange up here in Greenfield, and they used to come out from Boston all the time on Friday nights or Saturday nights. And then they said, you know what, I should just move out there. And so people do appreciate, you know, we get a lot of good recreation out here, and, you know, I'm sure you've seen it. People are moving up out of the cities. Sure. So, you know, that's wonderful. And then some people do complain, well, you don't have the nightlife, you don't have as many other amenities. So that's where we also try to grow. And like we support, we have a nightclub in Greenfield now, you know, that we've supported, and some restaurants, because that's, people also need that.
Sure.
They need the jobs, but then they need the place to have fun. A lot of the craft breweries around here we've supported, you know, trying to put together a tour of breweries or something is interesting for folks. So it's a great range. We're not isolated. Housing is a big issue. If you can't afford it or there's nothing available, that's going to be difficult to grow our population. So we got to work, and we collaborate with the Housing Authority, the Franklin Regional Planning offices, to try to, you know, grow the economy, the housing, and the jobs all at the same time.
And that's about all the time we have today. And as we said before, if anyone wants to see, to learn more about the organization, the website is the FCCDC.org. Very easy. Thanks so much, John and Kate, for spending some time with me today.
Thanks, Joe, for having us.
Thanks, Joe. It's fun.
And thanks to all of you for tuning into Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West. I'm Joe Bednar, the editor of Business West, and we'll see you next time.